The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia, and we are fired up to get to the Rude guest hotline. Remember, Rude is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to Mr. Dan Miller from Detroit, voice of the Lions. Dan, what's up, dude? How are you?
JP, I'm good. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good, brother. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of this, Earl Forsey wanted me to say hello, so I'm doing that for him.
That's been one of the cool things about this week is catching up with a lot of people, and obviously this is full circle for me with the crew, including B. Mitch there, who I spent some evenings in bars doing live shows with.
This is
fun. It's been a lot of fun saying hello to folks.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think everybody, most of our audience, because you've joined us before, knows that you from here, started here, and then got a really awesome job to move to Detroit and be the voice of the Lions and be on television all over and have accelerated your career in Detroit, and it's dope. But what that leads us to is a divisional round matchup between the now Commanders and the Lions. The Washington franchise is 3-0 historically against Detroit in the playoffs. Frankly, I don't think that matters at all for this weekend. What are the vibes surrounding the Lions right now?
You know, it's excitement. I mean, last year it was kind of new because we had never had a playoff game in our stadium at Ford Field. They hadn't had a playoff game at home in 30 years. So that was kind of, there was excitement built around, hey, we're back and doing that. This year, I think, after the loss in San Francisco and, you know, being 30 minutes away from a Super Bowl and letting a 17-point lead get away, I think that there was a feeling of coming back to handle business, coming back to finish what you started. So I think, look, there's a ton of excitement. It's going to be electric inside that stadium tomorrow night. It's going to be electric in downtown Detroit. But this is where they wanted to be. They wanted to win the North. They wanted to be the number one seed in the NFC. And I think they learned last year the importance of, if you can get there, having that NFC championship game in your stadium. That was their goals. Now they got to see if they can make something out of it.
The injuries, Dan, does that bother them at all? I know they practice hard. Everybody competes. But you have a lot of star players that are not playing in this game.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that's been part of the story all year long. And, you know, you go back to week 5 or 6, whatever it was, when Aiden Hutchinson went down against Dallas and we lose one of the best defensive players in football. And we're thinking, oh, my goodness, how are we going to figure this thing out from here? And it just kept happening. They've lost their two best defensive linemen, their best cornerback. They had lost 3 of their top 4 linebackers for most of the season. Alex Anzalone just came back last game. And one of their safeties that they were counting on, Fatu Melifonwu, had been out most of the season. He's been back for about a month now. So it's been crazy, and it's been concentrated on the defense where they have lost most of the players. But to their credit, they've been able to figure this thing out. A lot of times bringing guys in off the street. They had one game where they had nobody left from their 2-deep in the opening game playing in the second half of their game against Chicago on Thanksgiving Day. And it was against Buffalo late in the season. So it's just been cobbling this thing together, but they've been able to do it. They've been a top 10 scoring defense, the number one third down defense in the league. some cracks late in the season where they started giving up a lot of points. So I do think it's still a question mark, and I think it'll be a question mark till their season ends one way or the other, either, you know, in the Super Bowl with a win or a loss, or somewhere in the next couple weeks.
I have a theory that if Washington is to win this thing, it's in no way because Detroit lays an egg. Like, I don't see a Dan Campbell coach team coming off the bye flat or rusty. How do you think they will come out in this game after having, you know, 2 weeks off and really some good rest?
Yeah, I mean, they needed the bye. I mean, their bye was early this year. So it's not like they had, you know, gotten a bye in week 12, week 13. Plus, they had that compressed schedule around Thanksgiving where you get the two games close. And then they had another Thursday game right after Thanksgiving. So they had kind of been through the ringer in terms of the schedule. So the bye really, I think, helps them. Look, I think there's always a little bit of concern that you come out a little bit slow coming off some time off. But look, in a game like this, I think your concern is just a couple mistakes here and there. And this is for both sides. I think it's, you know, you don't want to have empty possessions in this game. Mm-hmm. These offenses are too good. And, you know, the Lions, the highest scoring offense in the league, they're an offense that gets on runs like I know Washington does. Well, they score on four or five straight possessions, finding the end zone. And that's what they need to do. And I'll be honest with you, I've kind of based off what you said, if there's something that gives me pause or concern, it is making a mistake on offense that gives Washington's defense points or gives Jaden Daniels a short field off a takeaway. And I just feel like mistakes are magnified this time of year. To me, how you win doesn't change. You won 15 games. That's the same recipe.
Yeah.
But the ways you lose are the same, too. And usually that's mistakes and turnovers.
Talking with Dan Miller here. Sports director at Fox 2 in Detroit and the Lions radio play-by-play man. You could give him a follow at Dan Miller Fox 2.
Dan, Jaden Daniels has had an outstanding year, and he's opening a lot of eyes. Dan Campbell spoke very highly of him. What are the thoughts you're hearing from the players about Jaden Daniels?
Well, I'll tell you, not only Dan Campbell speak highly of him, Aaron Glenn said, he said, Jaden Daniels has taken this league by storm, and I think that's about as high a compliment as I've ever heard AG give somebody. And he's all respect for players all the time, but that was really effusive praise for him. And look, these players are cognizant of who he is and how they have to play. And they've at times had trouble generating pressure from the front four, so they will bring guys, and that's what they did against Minnesota. Now, that's a different story, chasing Sam Darnold versus Jaden Daniels. But I'm really interested to see how they play this, because there have been times this year where they knew they had to bring pressure. They'll bring an extra guy. They've had trouble generating pressure with just the front four. I know sometimes the statistics say something different, but it's just not what the eyeball test tells you. So, look, they are fully respectful of him, what he can do. And they've gone so far as to say, look, we know he's going to make some plays in this game, but we have to be able to rebound from that. You can't let that beat you twice. He's going to break your heart on a 3rd and 7 or a 4th and 5 or something like that. You got to come back and play the next play. So I think they're prepared for what he can do. I think they're doing everything they can to mitigate that, A, with their defense, and B, just rebounding when he makes the plays that you know he's going to make.
It's going to be fascinating. And then, on the, you know, what's crazy with Washington, Terry McLaurin's a blue-chip player. He's a second-team All-Pro. He's going to the Pro Bowl. But the rest of it is kind of a combination of parts that seems to work, where the whole is greater than the sum, or whatever that phrase is. When you look at the Detroit offense, it is just full of blue-chip players. Gibbs, St. Brown, Williams. Who do you think in a way, you can kind of count on all of those, but is there one player that if Washington tries to focus on and shut down that can really have a large impact on the Lions' offense?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, I think you would start, and this is not rocket science because every team will talk about this, is stopping the run. If you can somehow make them one-dimensional, that puts the ball sort of in Washington's favor. It doesn't mean that Jared Goff can't operate that way, but they're so good when the running game is working, and he's so good off play action. That's when you see this offense really cook. When he's in rhythm, drops, plants, and just throws and hits Amon-Ra or hits J-Mo or Sam Laporta or whoever. I mean, I would say running game probably number one, but again, that's what coaches say every week. And then, the guy that they go to when they absolutely have to play is Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, that is the guy that when all the chips are down, you know, it's Ben Johnson calling the play. It's that offensive line that they have built protecting. It's Jared Goff delivering, and it's Amon-Ra making the catch. And I think that he's really the clutch guy that you look for in those moments where you have to have it. So I would say probably him. But the problem is, look, J-Mo's a one-play touchdown guy, and Laporta is finally healthy, and his production has soared towards the end of the season. So there's plenty of other guys on this offense that can make plays. Montgomery will be back as well. And that offense for this team is kind of a great equalizer. When the defense has struggled, they've found a way to score points and score enough points to win. So it is a tall order to stop that defense. That offense, not many teams have been able to do it. But look, this is a new game. This is a new situation. You got to come out. Everything you've done before doesn't matter. You got to come out and do it again now.
What kind of new medicine y'all have up there in Detroit, Dan? Because he was supposed to get surgery. He didn't get surgery.
Montgomery.
He's back this quick. Yeah. What the hell can we expect from him?
What we've seen, he looks fine. Listening to him talk this week and being around for a couple of interviews, he sounds fine. He's ready to go. You're right. I mean, we were all kind of taken aback because the immediate diagnosis was MCL, done for the year. And then you started seeing some of those Twitter doctors saying, you know what, if it is an MCL, he could be back in 4 or 5 weeks. And that's what it ended up being. So it was confusing, and we were kind of reading the tea leaves when they made some moves that following week and put a couple guys on IR, and they didn't put him on IR, and all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, maybe he's got a shot here, and that's what it ended up being. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that at first glance looked a little bit worse than it was. I anticipate, Brian, that he's going to look fine in this game and that he will look like David Montgomery. I think the interesting thing is, you know, how do they kind of approach this thing? Because Gibbs has been terrific since Montgomery was out. My guess is you're still going to see both of them. How they divvy that thing up remains to be seen, but it's good to have Montgomery when you're in those, you know, third and one or goal line situations, because he is tough to bring down running behind that offensive line.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, I mean, that O-line is so good. We are talking with our friend Dan Miller from Fox 2 Detroit Lions Radio, play-by-play man. You can give Dan a follow at Dan Miller Fox 2. Got Dan via the Rude guest hotline. Rude is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Dan, that O-line has been so good. And I was talking with somebody who said it's almost kind of weird. They, in some ways, Sewell's still their best lineman, even though he's on the right side, which is just a little unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But the news came out, you're not going to have Zeitler now. You're starting mm-hmm. a rookie in his spot. I know Mahogany played one game earlier in the year when Zeitler was out. How big of a deal is this? Because that's a big change with a group that's been very good.
Yeah, it is a big change, and he'll be over on the right side. He was on the left side last time he played. So, look, the nice thing is that you have him between Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow. I mean, two top-tier offensive linemen. And this kid, he had mono during training camp, so he didn't take part in training camp at all, but they've loved him since they drafted him and thought that he could be, you know, a long-term starter for them down the line. I think this is a little bit of an accelerated timetable, but in his one game that he played, he did great. And I think the team was really, you know, happy with how he played. And like I said, that was between Decker and Ragnow. So we'll see how this one goes. But look, I think as you look at that offensive line, that thing's by design. They built this team around that offensive line. You got three number one picks up there. You got three guys that have been paid with long-term contracts up there. That was one of the things Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell wanted to do. They wanted to build that thing to run the ball, to protect Jared Goff, and that's really what they've been able to do. And you can talk about Goff and Gibbs and Amon-Ra and things like that. In many ways, that offensive line is the face of this team. That's what gives them confidence when they walk on the field. Mm. They're going to be able to dictate pace in a game, and they're going to be able to move the ball late in a game, and they're going to be able to kill the clock in a game. So that's really the core of this team. And you know, to your question, absolutely, that is something to watch in this game for Mahogany, who does not have anywhere near the experience that Zeitler does in his mid-30s coming off a Pro Bowl year last year in Baltimore.
Kind of like another offensive line you used to cover, huh?
Yeah. You know what? Brian, it's that same confidence. And I think that's the way your teams used to feel. When you went out there with those guys, you know, I've likened it to this. It's like you're walking in a party in high school with the toughest guy and nobody's going to mess with you. I think that's the way that these guys feel about this line.
That's how JP feels now when he hang out with me.
That's exactly right. Hey, listen, put chest out, puffed out. No, I think it just – that group is what really gives this team on the road, bad conditions, at home, whatever it is. It makes them feel like they've got the ability to win that game. And you're right. It's the same thing with the Hogs. I mean, that group, you always felt like going into a game, that group was going to be able to control the game when you needed them to. And that's the way they feel about this offensive line. And like I said, it's by design. You can see it with the way that they've acquired those guys and paid those guys.
Dan, one thing I think folks make too much of sometimes is the opposing crowd. Right? Like, I don't think many NFL players are ever actually intimidated. They're professional football players. But I do think this building is going to be so damn loud Saturday night that it could have an impact, particularly on an offense that changes. You know, every NFL offense makes a fair amount of checks at the line. I think mm-hmm. Washington definitely does that. What are you expecting that building to be like Saturday night?
It's loud. It's really loud. I mean, look, I grew up going to RFK, and I knew what that was like, and that did impact other teams. This building has become, I think, one of the best home field advantages in the league. I think what it does is it does make it hard for you to communicate. It does make it hard for you if you want to do something at the line. You better do it with plenty of time left on the play clock. We've seen quarterbacks come in here and try to change something with 7 seconds left on the play clock, and at that point, you're toast. And we have seen – you know, false starts. We have seen games where teams have, you know, delay of games and things like that. So it absolutely can be a factor. But look, I mean, Jaden Daniels has played in the SEC. He knows what some of these stadiums sound like and look like. But the caution that I would have is don't think you're going to do anything late in the play clock because it's going to be really difficult to do that. And as much as a crowd can be a factor, it will be with this group because it is loud. These fans have waited for this for a long time. And really, you've seen the growth of Ford Field probably in the last couple of years as this kind of regime has taken off.
Yeah, I mean, we were out there. I'm trying to remember what year it was. We were out there during the Ron era, and it was when Campbell was there, and they're starting to turn things around, and it was unbelievably loud. And I think this is not a surprise. I'm not breaking any news, but being indoors, it contains the noise better, right? Like there's nowhere for that noise to go.
Yep.
But
yeah, it does rattle around. There's no doubt about that. And believe me, they'll open the doors early. It will be loud early, and you know, night games, those fans are lubed up and ready to go.
Yeah. They already started the day. You know that.
Yeah. I started half an hour ago, but these guys, it's a fun place. And you know what? Look, the Lions have lost twice at home. They were unbeaten on the road. So it's not like this place makes them invincible, but it is a tough place to play. And, you know, I just, like I said, I would just caution if you're trying to do something late in the clock or communication does become difficult.
Dan, you know the Lions inside and out. You're at the facility doing all the production meetings. But I'm guessing, you know, as a son of the DMV, you keep an eye on what Washington's doing. It's been a special year here. How do you think this thing shakes out?
Well, let me say this. I'm happy for what is happening there. I mean, I know they went through a lot with miserable ownership. People were angry. And there are a lot of parallels between what's happened in Washington and what happened in Detroit. Just getting through the bad years and the gut punches and all the disappointment and getting to the point where you win. And there's nothing better than winning. You know, we've all seen that. We all know that. So, look, to me in this game, so many people are talking about the Lions defense and handling Jaden Daniels. To me, it's about their offense. If that offense comes out and plays the way that it's capable of and, you know, goes on one of those runs where they have, you know, multiple possessions where they score touchdown, score touchdown, score touchdown, what becomes a problem is for the other team to keep up. We saw it against Dallas. We saw it against Seattle in some of their games earlier this year. And when the other team has an empty possession or two, all of a sudden you look up and you're down two scores, and that could become a problem. So to me, it's about offensive efficiency. They have to score the way they're capable of scoring. Score like you were, in fact, the number one scoring offense in the league this year. And I think that puts them in a good position. Where I think they become vulnerable is if you do have empty possessions, if you do turn the ball over. I have no doubt that Washington's going to score points. I think if I map this out and say, how do the Lions win this thing, I would say, again, offensive efficiency, maximize your possessions. Don't want to see Jack Fox a lot in this game punting. And then just see if you can cobble together a couple of stops against Washington. See if you can get a takeaway. That's the Detroit side. The Washington side, as I look at it, is same thing in some ways. You got to maximize your possessions, then see if you can get a takeaway, take that crowd out of it a little bit, and try to flip momentum. And I think it feels like at this time of year, man, mistakes are magnified, and that's where you can end up losing the game. You don't want to be Philly. The Green Bay going into Philly and turning the ball over three times in the first half.
Sure.
That's opening kickoff. That's a recipe in this game for a big problem.
Totally. Yeah.
I think this thing to me is turnovers and special teams. Whichever way those breaks go, they're going to win. And obviously, really tall task going up to Detroit and beating a loaded Lions team that will come out shot out of a cannon. But yes. I do think Washington can hang, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, Dan. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, it's not supposed to be easy this time of year. So, it's, you know, it should be tough. And we're looking forward to it. Good to catch up with you guys.
All right, brother. Hey, thank you for making time. Take seriously, care, I know you're slammed.
Thanks, guys. Be good.
Dan Miller, sports director, Fox 2 Detroit, and voice of the Lions, Lions Radio, play-by-play. Give him a follow at Dan Miller, Fox 2. Coming up, we're going to make official predictions. We're going to try to track down Rev T. We're going to play Jeff's hype song. Plus, Governor Moore and Peter Rosenberg. Nobody go anywhere.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.